Good morning, Lauren. Oh, Lauren, are you there?
Yes, good morning.
Hi, good morning. So to kick things off, now we've all heard the phrase sex sells. Are sexualized images of women or even violent ones actually increasing sales?
They're certainly not increasing sales. In fact, there has been a lot of research that demonstrates that sexualization and depictions of sexualized and objectified depictions of women are not well received by consumers. And violent representations, whether of men or women, are very negatively received by consumers. So it's quite perplexing that advertising as an industry is continuing to go down these routes. We can assume that one of the reasons they try to do this is they want to shock. They want to get attention. They want to stand out from a very cluttered media environment, and that's one of the ways that they think is a quick route to doing that.
Right. There's the other excuse that I suppose advertisers might hide behind is it's art. Do you think that calling something art is a valid excuse for these sorts of images?
We know that advertisers are more often than not very creative individuals, are very frustrated creatives a lot of the time. So they are delving into the advertising space as a way of expressing their creativity, often not thinking about how the product is being driven in mind with that as well. But expressing your creativity has to also take into account the sociocultural environment around you and the damage that can be undertaken in creating certain representations. Advertisers are very quick to invoke the excuse, well, it's art, it's subjective, it's how you are going to interpret that. But there are broader repercussions for the representations of advertising. We know that advertising is a really important way of shaping understandings and attitudes of the world around us. So if you're going to represent women in a very negative or disempowering or in a violent context, a very dangerous way, then that's highly problematic because it's going to perturb how everyone comes to understand women and the right that women have to safety as well.
I guess you sort of dipped into some of the effects that these sorts of images have on women. As far as male audiences of advertising, how do these sorts of images affect men in the way that they perceive women?
Well, the study that we conducted found that women were positioned in these violent representations in advertising in three ways. One was that they were positioned as teasers. So despite there being quite a violent context, there was this promise of sexual intimacy, which creates a very convoluted situation. Women were also positioned as pieces of meat, so they were dehumanized in order to be controlled or dominated in particular ways. The third way that was they were positioned as being conquered, so they were submissive, vulnerable, and psychologically adrift. Now, if you're representing women in these ways, so they're highly sexualized, in zoomorphic ways, and as very subjugated beings, you're going to foster a rape culture. And that is going to suggest that treating women in these very degrading ways, through the use of violence, for example, is considered acceptable. And that's going to be a really disturbing source of learning for young women and men who are growing up in an environment where this is what's surrounding them as culturally appropriate.
Mm. You mentioned before that it often gets played off, and you also mentioned about how this sort of advertising isn't actually that effective.
No.
Why do you think some companies and agencies are reluctant to change their model of advertising despite this?
Well, Australia is quite a unique beast in that advertising is a self-regulated industry. So there is a code of ethics which guides the system, and that states that advertisements should be prepared in ways that have a sense of obligation to consumers and to general society. But more often than not, that's ignored. What it relies on is people making a complaint to which the Advertising Standards Board then investigates. So the onus is put on the consumer as opposed to the advertiser. So they're given a lot of creative freedom. And you'll note in the code as well that notions of sexism or objectification are completely absent. So what it's created is an environment where it's relying on grassroots organizations like Collective Shout or ongoing individual activism by consumers, which we've seen through cases like Wicked Campers, to create this groundswell of negative sentiment to what advertisers are doing. But the position isn't put on advertisers up front. So this creative freedom that they're given to dabble into these darker realms, I guess, of society and what they would construct as art is quite open for them.
Mm. Well, another point of discussion, I guess, which comes into the whole debate is why do female models willingly participate in advertisements if they are violent or sexual? What would your response be to such a line of argument?
I think it's a highly simplistic line of argument. It's very hard to control the game when you're not in control of the game. If you look at the advertising industry, only 3% of women around the world are in the position of a creative director. And the creative director is the person who is managing how the creative direction of an advertisement is going to be driven. You've also got to bear in mind that for decades and decades now, women have been consuming this idea that their identity is bound up in their sexuality. So to simply say that women should not be participating in that is highly simplistic. It also challenges the idea of, well, women also need to be able to express their sexuality in agentic ways and not be bound by potentially repressive codes of sexuality in society. So it's a fine line to tread that creates a lot of debate and conflict, I guess, as a result.
Well, it certainly does get a lot more complicated when you look at the balance between empowerment and oppression.
Absolutely.
What do you think, finally, what do you think the next step is, perhaps where we can go to try and get some sort of change out of the advertising industry?
Sure. So the group Collective Shout that I mentioned before, they currently have a petition in place to revise the codes that are governing the regulation of advertising in Australia and the self-regulation of advertising. So that's certainly one aspect from a public policy perspective. I guess because of the way that everything is set up in the environment for advertising in Australia, we still need to rely on people speaking out and, you know, voting with their wallet when they see a company advertising in a way which they find to be disturbing, pernicious, etc. Hopefully that sort of activism coming from consumers is going to keep companies in check. And we see with this emergence of what's called fourth wave feminism, the activism which is being conducted in online spaces, that's an increasingly important way of calling organisations out and making them accountable.
Mm. Okay, well, Lauren, thanks very much for joining me to unpack all of this. Seems like there are places we can go, which is a positive.
Thank you for having me.
Cheers.